Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's up, everybody? Anthony Cazenza here with the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I'm going to be joined by a trio, maybe even more than a trio of special guests in just a second, one of which, teasing with the hat here, we'll get all these gentlemen on. They were kind enough to have me on a really fun show in just a little bit ago, Bengals and Brews. You got to go check that out. Awesome show. A lot of fun. I was not partaking in the adult beverages, so I was a little more tame, but hey, the rest of the guys, they carried the show. They did awesome. If you're new here, you can always get the Cincy Jungle podcast channel on your favorite audio streamer, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the major ones. We are there. You got to subscribe to the Cincy Jungle podcast channel. And then, of course, you can get the videos on the Cincy Jungle Facebook page. Go give that a like. And our Orange and Black Insider YouTube channel. Go give that a subscribe and hit the bell to be notified when we go live, when new content is available. So the NFL draft is in the books, the 22 NFL draft. We've been trying to give you a ton of content on CincyJungle.com as well as on this show. A lot of other great podcasts out there are doing their thing and bringing you all kinds of great content. So if you are a Bengals fan, no excuses. Play like a champion. Digest it all and get all of your content. I'm going to bring in a couple of the special guests I've got joining me for the Draft Breakdown show. I've got Dale Altman here, and I've got Strawberry Ice. I think we're waiting on one more here. Dale Altman, the architect of the Bengals and Brew podcast, along with the Orange Arrow. Dale, what's going on, man? First time on my show, and I apologize it has taken this long, but good to have you on, man.
It's all good, man. Thank you, Anthony, for having me.
Yeah.
I will try to be very professional.
Wow, my God. There is no level of professionalism here, my friend. Do your thing.
Who is that guy? I don't know who that guy is at all. Like, I have no idea. That is not the guy who sits behind me in every single Bengals game, all I got to say.
And then a lot of you know Strawberry Ice as well. Been on our show, does a great podcast, Sports with Strawberry Ice. What's late going night on, Iceman?
Late night Saturday, man. The draft is over. Like the guys from the Bengals or the Hear That Podcast, Prowlin says, best beer of the night.
Yep. And Dale's. I'm peeping some. Is it Fireball, Dale? Is that Fireball you got going there?
I handed it to my buddy that was just on our podcast that I said was going to come over. He don't live far away, so he's here. So I was like, hey,
okay.
Like I'm an Anthony. Right. Show. You know, Anthony, you've always said like you always followed Cincy Jungle, Anthony Cazenza. Yeah, big fan.
Oh. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Appreciate
you
that.
Get his, you want to get his autograph or something? You
know, all right. Hey, what's going on? Well, let's. We're waiting on Santori Miles. I think he got an adult beverage and is sitting down here. Santori, what's going on, buddy?
Wait. My wife just got home, so I had to not be completely buried in the computer like I have been all day.
I know the pain. My wife has played like a champ this week with me going out to Vegas and taking care of the kids and all that. So shout out to her. But I understand you are the host of Rally Round the Natty, that podcast, another great one. And we just had some fun on Bengals and Brews. What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's a fun little podcast, unique. Just me and my dad complaining, more or less.
Yeah, yeah.
I do want to plug something real quick if I can. I see Dale's kind of getting the runaround right now, but
he's on mute.
One thing that we're doing is every month we partner with a charity, and our donation period actually ends tonight in about 2 hours. But for every dollar that's donated, this month is all of it's going to the Ken Anderson Alliance. And if you donate at minimum $1, you are put in a raffle to get one of these sweet hoodies that I can't do right. It says Rally Around the Natty. Very like soft. It. Come from Walmart, and then we doctor them up here because we have the technology. We also have mugs, and one of our sticks is we have a popcorn machine where we record, and we made a joke saying it was the Hot Buttered Popcorn Studio. So we make mugs that say the Hot Buttered Popcorn Studios.
I love it.
So if you you donate $1, you get in a rally. We give one of those away each month, one hoodie away each month. And if you donate a minimum of $10, you get put in a drawing to win a custom jersey from Cook's around Christmas time. I'll go down there with you. We'll submit the order. Anything you want, up to about $300. We're ready to rock and roll and help some people out.
That's awesome. Well, you are a much more generous man than I in terms of the giveaway. I guess I got to step up my giveaway game.
I'm still waiting for my hoodie. He told me I was going to get a hoodie like a month ago.
I've got it printed in the back room.
I told you I need an extra fat. Did you have that size?
I do have an extra fat. The issue was I had another person that actually won the first giveaway and the lived in Manchester. That took away a lot of my funds to make some of these hoodies. Because
Manchester, Ohio or
no,
Manchester,
UK.
England? Oh, Jesus.
My first winner from my first podcast ends up being across the pond. So I was like, well, I was going to ship a lot of these out, but they're
going to
my funds.
No wonder I didn't get one yet.
Yeah, it's made, but the shipping funds got a little deteriorated.
I gotcha.
Well, it's awesome to have all of you on, and we always like to support the Ken Anderson Alliance. We've done that a couple times on this show, and so that's a charity near and dear to the show's heart, so definitely want to help you. And I got to ask you, Rally Around the Natty, is that – this may be like a total off-the-wall – question, but
that's all we
is
do.
Is that a play on the Rage Against the Machine song? Remember the old Bulls on Parade?
Love that song. That
it's a
yes
play.
And no.
Yeah, yes and no. There's quite a few things that went into it. One of them was the song. There was, and I'm too young to remember this, but it was something that my dad liked. It was Rally Round Something. And we couldn't use the word he wanted to because it was copywritten. I was like, well, what about Natty? He's like, well, I don't like Natty. I like Cincinnati. And I was like, I'm telling you, Natty's fine. Like, Rally Around the Natties, it's easy. And he's like, okay. And initially we were going to call it Fridays because we wanted to do it every Friday. And it was going to be F-R-I-D-E-Y-S. But he's like, you work on Friday. And I was like, well, that sucks, but you're right. So
that's way better than my nickname. I was just Strawberry Ice because I was on the radio. Vanilla Ice was popular. See, my face gets red, so that's the only reason I got Strawberry Ice.
Well, my name's not even Santori Miles. That was just a burner name that I had to come up with. So
what? Your name was different. Your name was different on Bengals and Brews. Hey, what's up, brother?
This is my son Regan. He's chilling and saying, "What's up?
What's up, Regan?
We're talking about Bengals, dude. You're on the air, dude.
What's up,
brother?
Those are my Bengals friends.
Yeah."
Do you see the way he talks to you, Dale? What's that?
Yeah. Well, let's since Regan barged in on here, dude. Buddy. Yeah. Can you give me a second? Okay, we're gonna go make mac and cheese in a little bit here.
That's I like mac and cheese.
So, all right. Now you guys talked so much about the professionalism on this show, and there you go. There's professional 101 right there. Dale, we're gonna start with you. Favorite pick of this year's Bengals class and why? Doesn't necessarily have to be the first round pick if you don't want it to be, but who was your favorite pick of all of the ones that the Bengals made this weekend?
Gosh, the easy one is Daxton Hill, but I won't say it just because I want to. I think you guys probably will. Hey, buddy. I love mac and cheese too, by the way.
Dude, it's Cam Taylor Britt. Don't lie. We know who it is.
No, just because I picked that one.
You called it on my show.
I mean, no, my favorite pick, even though I didn't see why we would take another safety. My best value was the Tyson Anderson, 4-3 speed, and he is going to dominate on special teams. He played special teams everywhere, and if you've seen any of his videos, he was so excited to be a Bengal, which so is Cam Taylor Britt. So I love when somebody's like, "Yes, I want to be a Bengal that bad." I'm excited for that because honestly, I wasn't used to that. So I'll say that's my favorite pick. I think the best pick was that.
Okay. And we'll go down. We'll go clockwise how I have it. Santori, you were first earlier, but you left to go get another beverage. So you're gonna have to bat clean up here a little bit. Iceman, favorite pick. Why?
Mine is Cam Britton Taylor, just because of they traded up to get him. And I think he could potentially be the shutdown corner that we want. He doesn't have to be that, and that's what's best about where the Bengals are at right now. I think he's going to start, but not off the bat. Eventually, he'll start. Like maybe round game 6, 7, he's going to start. And there's nothing against Eli Apple. I love Eli Apple, but we all know there's a good apple and a bad apple. And I think he is athletic enough, and with the one-handed catch that we've all seen, I like that one. But I do like Dax. I think and the versatility that they both bring is great. But second round pick, trading up, I love that one.
I hear you. I mean, there really aren't too many wrong answers, I guess, in this class. Maybe there's one or two. But Santori, who are you liking here? You had a in the last show on Bagels and Brews, you were talking about maybe the 7th round pick as being one of the best value picks of this class. Is that where you're still leaning here? Is maybe your favorite guy?
Well, I don't know if it's my favorite. I think it's definitely the best value. I mean, he was so high on our board just from every metric that we charted. We had him, I looked up, we had him 96th. So, you know, to get him 160 spots back from where we thought we were going to have to get him is fantastic. I love freaks of nature just personally. And I think Daxton Hill falls in that. I initially groaned when they picked him, and I looked at the ceiling like, oh God, I wanted a little bit flashier of a pass rusher here. But you know, the guy that I think really made a huge impact on this defense the past year was Mike Hilton. And I see him as another kind of Mike Hilton, where he can be disruptive from several different spots on the field. That doesn't necessarily have to be a traditional disruption from his position. You know, you can blitz him from all over the place. He can drop in coverage. I think he can cover just about anybody. I could see him hanging with tight ends. He did it in college. He can hang with backs out of the backfield. There's reports he can, you know, line up wide and handle an X or a Z. So, I mean, I love versatility. I love being able to line somebody up and just say go. And his measurables are off the charts. So I just think he's going to be a fun ball player.
Yeah, I like the Daxton Hill pick. That's kind of low-hanging fruit. I like Cam Taylor-Britt. I think that I would go with the Bengals second-round pick. I think that just makes a lot of sense, and it's a guy it's a guy that I think the Bengals can use in a variety of fashions. I think like what we talked about before was, you know, the fact that the team isn't desperate for needs based on where the roster is at this point, so. You got to like a little bit as to how they were able to get value, get guys and kind of plan for the future a little bit while still getting some immediate contributors in sub capacity, I think. So,
I got a question for you. I got a question for you, Anthony. And I kind of asked it on Bengals Brew. How surprised, and this shocked me. I'll just put up, this shocked me. How surprised are you that the Bengals traded up not once, but twice? Cause I know we've been on here and you and me talked that the Bengals don't trade up. Last time they traded up was in 1995 for Carter, the running back for Penn State, when they got the number one pick. Last time I remember them trading up, they did it twice.
It's surprising, and I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on that too. Very surprising, and the thing that surprised me the most was in the second round. I mean, we talked about that a little bit. You know, the Bengals doing that high in the draft, that's just not normally what they do. That's usually the round where they move back, collect another pick or two, and use them later. It was the fact that they did it so early that really surprised me. And the fact, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about it, Dale. I'll start with you on that. But the fact that they didn't end up getting and collecting more picks and only using – they used less picks than what they started with. And that kind of surprised me a little bit as well, because that's not normally their MO, you know what I mean?
It isn't. But I had said on Jeff's show when he was talking about trading down – you know, on Thursday, and I was like, I don't see the roster spots there. Like, when you're a Super Bowl contending team, I would rather trade up. Because, honestly, those 7th-round picks, they're going to be on your practice squad, maybe, or someone else takes them a lot of times. Like, so you're trading us. They traded a 6th-round pick and a 7th-round pick. That's all they traded when they traded up those two times. Those are probably guys that's not making your team or making any impact, so... In my opinion, I'm good with it. It's actually something that I was hoping they would do this whole time. I was hoping that they would do things like that. If there's a guy they want, trade up a few spots. Trade up 8 spots. Go get him. You're giving up a 6th, 7th round pick.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. the fact that I brought up last week when John Sheeran and I were talking, I had brought up the idea of like, hey, you know, this seems to be a time where, I mean, you don't need to, the roster's in a spot where you need to, you don't need to hoard picks, right? You kind of need to get a little more quality instead of quantity. You know, the first couple of drafts under Zach Taylor, he was really trying to rebuild and beef up the roster, and some of it stuck, some of it didn't. And they just didn't need 9-10 picks or whatever this weekend, and the fact that they moved up. So Ice, were you, I'll just spin the question back at you before giving it to Santori, were you surprised that that they moved up twice and ended with less picks than they started the weekend with?
Absolutely, because I my whole thing was I thought they would trade back because we needed depth. You know, we needed to add, and I was all for defense. I mean, I wanted a Linderbaum in the first round. Freaking Rappard took him. Anyway, they're going to talk about that. But I wanted to trade back to get more picks too, because the defense, we've spent so much money on the defense throughout free agency that they're going to need young guys to fill these spots, because we all know this, and people don't want to hear this. They're going to have to let some guys go, you know, and a lot of them are going to be on defense because of the free agent contracts that they've had. So that's why I thought they'd trade back, not trade up. Now, somebody in here was asking, Sega Ohio was asking, did they sign any undrafted free agents? And if you watch the Bengals and Brews, Santori, where's he at? Over there, was all over that. He's got a list of them, so he can tell you.
List of what?
Undrafted free agents. The Bengals signed.
Oh, God. I've lost track. They've signed like three wide receivers.
Well, here you go. I got you covered here.
This is a professional right here. Anthony, which is way
Look at this quality. We don't have this.
I know. Well, it's really not that hard. You just go to anyway. Go ahead.
Screen share, but whatever.
Screen share. But here you go. This is up to date. This is from CincyJungle.com. Of course, got to plug the old website there, but they're doing a bang up job. No thanks to me. I am not pulling my weight too much on Cincy Jungle on the writing side of things. I apologize.
That's because you're hanging out with Trey Wingo the whole time.
I don't know about that. Yeah, maybe. But here you go. I mean, Santori, I want to get your thoughts on the trade up situation, and also you were pretty dialed in on a lot of these guys and breaking a lot of that on Bengals and Brew. Anybody stand out to you on here? Kwame Lassiter the second. I remember Kwame Lassiter the first. I'm old enough to remember that. But anyway, I don't know. Anyone else standing out here to you? I feel like didn't the Bengals show interest in Shamari Jones, the Coastal Carolina running back?
I think they did, and I didn't watch him, so I don't have too much to say on him. I know Ben Brown had a very productive career at Ole Miss. I think he only gave up like 2 sacks across 4 seasons. Like he didn't give up a whole lot. Long snapper out of Pitt has the best hair this side of the Mississippi. The kid from Coastal Carolina was very productive. I know he had close to 1,200 yards, 66 receptions. I guarantee you he had a really good production score. I don't know much about Rigg. Lassiter, I think he might be one of the ones to watch to stick around. He had 30 punt returns in college, and I know he's got a connection with Simmons. So I would keep an eye on him out of Kansas. Cochran is a really big tackle. I don't know anything about Tisdale, and it can't hurt to have a DB out of Washington because they've been pumping them out like crazy lately.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Well, let's get to the kind of the somber, the bad part. Dale, least favorite pick of this year's class. I think I know where you may go, but I'm gonna let you vent, my friend. Go
no, for it. I'm not gonna vent because on our show I just said I'm not gonna say anything.
I know
about fourth round pick Cordell Volson. I had him as a sixth round guy. I can only go off of like what I watch and what I see and where I value somebody. So I thought it was a little bit of a reach. I hope the guy proves me wrong and he's an all pro Hall of Fame guy, you know?
What about him that had you peg him in the sixth round?
Well, I had him as a tackle because he's 6'6", 315. But I knew that when we drafted him, we were going to try to move him to guard, which that's where most people projected him. And that's what we kind of did last year. Plus, it was on top of Sawyer from Georgia was the guy that I really liked, that if we're going, you know, who played a little more guard, and that's in the SEC. That's not against a lot weaker competition. I think you can judge those guys that play quarterback or wide receiver or skill positions in like the lower division. But when it comes to linemen, are they really playing against a lot of guys that got – how many guys did he go up against that was getting drafted this weekend?
Yeah. It's hard for me to – again, I think that one, just the sticker shock of the pick, right? You're just kind of, whoa. That one was a little
– But on top of – I just don't know who he went against. I don't know what he's proven.
Yeah, like. Yeah, that's the small school thing. And, and some teams – what's really – interesting, Dale, is the Bengals aren't really normally small school. They go for the guys from the big schools, the proven programs, the SEC, that sort of thing. And they didn't go that route here, right? And you kind of figured with them needing, they really did a lot in free agency to shore up the offensive line and whatnot. But kind of felt like if they were going to have a developmental player, it might have been at the higher levels. So and no offense to our boy Bengal Sons, because I know he's those North Dakota State they were going against his rivals there.
He hates him just because of the school. Right. I don't hate him, and I hope he dominates. Like I don't like, and I don't want to be salty or whatever. Or like I'm not a hater. I didn't value him that high. This is a draft recap show, and I didn't value him that high. So that's my honest opinion on the player, and I hope he pans out.
And this is what I keep trying to tell Dale. He's like, everybody will get upset. He thinks everybody's going to get upset with him. I say, look, you have done the draft work. You and Satori have done the draft work. If you don't like it, it's fine. It's okay. If you don't like it, it's your opinion. You're allowed to have that. Right. People don't like it, then they can kick rocks.
Yep. Ice, your least favorite pick and why?
Oh, Jeezle. My least favorite pick, which is hard because I'm such a Bengals homer. I like all of them.
Get me in a minute. Come on, let it rip.
I'm trying to think here. The problem is I didn't watch. I had family issues today, so I didn't watch everything that happened today. So I couldn't. I really can't speak on that, to be honest. Because I don't. I know the safety from Toledo, and I know the offensive lineman from North Dakota, and I like both those. I'm upset that we didn't get the punk guy. That would have been nice to get him. I would have liked that to happen. That would have been cool. I'm kind of a little upset that we didn't get him.
So it wasn't a pick that made you upset. It was the
last. Okay, I'll put this way. My two man crushes. My two man crushes. The punk god, Matt Ariza.
Tyler Linderbaum.
And Tyler Linderbaum. I would freaking Ratbirds stole Linderbaum from me. So I'm a little upset about that. Those are the two, I guess, I'm disappointed that we didn't get a chance to pick. I'll put it that way.
Okay. All right. I like it. Santori.
It's not necessarily the player. It's just the circumstance surrounding the pick. I didn't like trading up necessarily for Anderson. I don't mind Anderson. I would have really liked to have had one of those other later picks. And maybe it's just the draft nerd in me not wanting to wait 120 spots for my next pick.
Nerd.
But I don't necessarily know where he's going to play yet. I've heard safety. I've heard linebacker. In my mind, you trade it up for a little bit of a question mark and a special teams player. I don't think you need to trade up for a special teams player. He is an athlete. I think he's a good ball player. I think he's going to be fun. I just don't know if the value of what it took to move up to get him is going to match.
But is that something you can do when you are a team that does not have a lot of holes?
Oh, they can afford to do it. Sure.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at.
Just because you could afford to buy something, though, doesn't necessarily.
I'm with you on that. Because with Cedric O'Boye, he was one they reached for, and we all know it didn't pan out. So I'm with you.
I don't necessarily think he's a reach where they picked him, but they gave up a lot to get to that spot.
Right,
not a lot, but more than I would have liked.
Right. Yes. More than
it's,
you
want. I would give the pick maybe a C plus or a B minus, but I'm really grasping at straws to try and find something I don't like. You know?
It was a lot of
just solid picks.
That's where I'm at. That's why I said A. I didn't say A plus. I didn't say A minus. It's an A. It's solid A because they picked in the last part of the round, in every freaking round. I mean, what does people
least,
want
least
to do?
Favorite doesn't mean don't like the pick. It's
right,
just,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
you
right.
have to, I mean, that, I mean, if you don't like the pick, you don't like the pick, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean that.
Yeah. People call me a homer all the time. I'm like, well, I am. I'm like, I got that flag. I'm good. I'm fine with being a homer, but I'm like, I like what they've done. I'm like, it's, I think the last 3 years, you know, Jackson Carmen, we all said it was a reach, and I liked it at the time, but I think it was a reach now. It's easier to say that a year from now, but, you know, the picks right now we have, I like them. I like the versatility. That's where I'm at with them.
Well, and the hard thing about this is, and I know why we do this. It's fun for a show, and, you know, it is something to talk about, but I don't evaluate draft classes until like 2 to 3 years later.
You can't.
You can't.
You have no idea what these guys are going to be. You can only go off of kind of what you scouted. And then at that point, there's so much personal bias in it. It's hard to give a flatline opinion of what you really thought.
Right.
Like I'm looking in the comments section. Someone goes, no, you know, it's the player. Salyer was sitting there from Georgia. I hated him out of Georgia.
Well, let's go.
I would have been all upset about him.
Right, I feel the opposite. So, like, that's the thing. In 3 years, they might both suck, or maybe they're both great. But, like, we don't know.
Here's the thing, Dale.
What if Jackson Carmen or Deontay Smith makes a big leap this year? So, how's that changed last year's draft? If both of them, one of them makes a leap, which I think is very possible, one or both of them could make a huge leap this year. Because look at Logan Wilson. The leap he made for his first year.
That's why you want to wait until after the third year because one makes a leap in year 4, 5, and 6.
Second year. You use the second year or you're out usually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with Santori a little bit when I title it least favorite pick. I mean, it's not the player. It's more the direction they went with that pick instead of, and I said this on your show, Dale, that, I just wish they added some depth somehow. I mean, and by the time that round rolled around, I don't think there was a lot of talent left in the well there. But you know, tight end, wide receiver, someone with return ability, you know, that sort of thing, and give them a little more sizzle on offense. You know, I wish they had done that. I mean, I understand the pick. I really like the traits of and of the player and whatnot. But I just wish that they had, you know, they did some more things on that front. And it's interesting to see you guys mentioned Salyer. Jamari Salyer
that wasn't a guy in my conversation. I want to say that, like, I wouldn't have said Salyer with what was on the board in the fourth round. I do want to say that because, like, like you're saying, Anthony, there was tight ends and receivers that I liked.
Yeah. Yeah. And my thing, what I was going to say, though, was, like, it's interesting to see what the team did because Salyer was a guy they had pre-draft interest in.
Right.
I think they worked him out or had an interview or both or what have you, and they had opportunity after opportunity to draft him, and they did not, right? They went a different direction. Yeah. So it's interesting to see how the team, after they did these pre-draft evaluations, they were My understanding is their tight ends coach, James Casey, was heavily involved in the workouts at for Trey McBride. And that was a guy I'm just like, well, maybe they really like this guy. Maybe that's a guy they're going to – and just they didn't even touch the position, right? It's just interesting to see how the whole thing shook out after who they had interest in, who they did pre-draft visits with and all of that. Usually that's a pretty good indicator of guys they bring in, but – I don't know. It's just interesting here.
One thing I'll say is I think whenever we get upset about the third round pick, I think that it goes to the emphasis of how bad.
Are you talking about Carter?
Yeah. Carter. Yeah. How bad Larry Ogunjobi's foot might be, you know, cause they went and got him. He could play three tech. He could play outside edge. I mean, it depends on what he's going to do, or he's a tweener, right? So that's why I'm not sure.
Don't say that word.
He's versatile. If you like the prospect, you say versatile.
Versatile.
He's not a wiener. Like prospect.
Not a wiener. He's a tweener.
That's right.
But the point is I think Larry's foot might be, or ankle might be worse than people think it is. Cause like, who would know more than the Bengals of how bad it is, you know? So that's why I think that was if we had a hole that they had to get, it was somebody to back up B.J. Hill. And I think that was a bigger point of emphasis than any of us realized, to be honest.
Well, that's a good segue to kind of another topic here, and that is, you know, what do the Bengals need? I mean, because there's now, as we know, there's like another set or another stage of free agency, right? All these teams do this work in the draft. They see how the classes shake out and everything. And then they look at it and they go, okay, who's still out there veteran-wise that can come in and help us? Maybe you get some of those rental deals out there like Larry Ogunjobi had with the Bengals last year. So I'm gonna reverse the order. I'm going to go Santori to start this one here, and I'm going to ask him what he thinks the Bengals should do and where some other deficiencies on this roster reside after this weekend.
Well, I still would go after a three technique, a true three technique, because you're a B.J. Hill injury away from having to run Can Sample and some of these other rookies out there in a rotational role. So I would go one more spot there. There's no wide receiver number four on this roster for me. There's a lot of guys that might play special teams and a lot of undrafted free agents that are very unproven. I want to say tight end, but I don't know where the Bengals' heads are with tight end right now. I know they like Hayden Hurst, and, you know, I think we all should. I think he's going to fill in for CJ Uzomah just fine. But after that, we have a blocking tight end who can't block, and we have Wilcox, who's a special teams guy. So, again, if I'm looking at my roster across the line, I look at all my starters and say, if he gets hurt, are we screwed? And tight end and three technique right now would screw you if they got hurt. And injuries are a massive part of the game, as much as people probably forgot, because we had like no huge injuries last year. You know, if Jamar Chase goes down, you've got T, which is fine. And then you've got Boyd. But after that, you know, the Bengals were potent as they were last year because they could run those three wide receiver sets. They could really use another wide receiver who's formidable. They could use a moderate to average backup receiving threat at tight end, and they could use some kind of rotational true three technique. And I'm talking one of the big boys closer to 290 to 300, not one of these 285 guys.
Yeah. Dale, you were
good, Dale. Well, I got to get off here, so I wanted to just jump in real quick. But
all right.
I would say tight end. Because, I mean, I know you kind of said three tech and tight end there, but I would say tight end just because we didn't take one, and it's the Drew Sample on a one-year deal and Hayden Hurst on a one-year deal. And if Hayden Hurst went down, yeah, what do you do if we're wanting a pass-catching tight end? I don't see it in Wilcox. I don't see it in Sample. So if we're building the offense around, you know, a more dynamic tight end, we did not get one. If Hayden Hurst goes down, and that's how we've structured our offense, I am very concerned about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, Dale. I know we've all done a lot of time here today, but I want to give you a shout out and share. This is the Bengals and Brews podcast, the YouTube channel. I will pin that in our live chats. Tell us a little bit about your show, when you stream, when you go live, all that kind of stuff.
We try to go once a weekend. Sometimes it's Saturday night. Sometimes we may go a couple times a weekend because we'll have a Sunday show. We try to work around people's schedules, but we both typically work throughout the week. So we're like a once a weekend. Sometimes we'll do a couple episodes a weekend. We just talk Bengals and chat with everybody and just really have a good time with it. I mean, you saw that firsthand, Anthony.
It was a blast, man. Yeah, I had a blast.
But thank you for having me on your show, man. I love you guys.
Absolutely. Come back on anytime, man.
For sure. Hude.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Thanks to Dale for joining here. We'll be here just a little bit longer before we hop on out of here. Just talking some Bengals and trying to do a little bit of a different angle of things. Just kind of a rundown, not really a lightning round, but just kind of run down a lot of different thoughts on the class, where the Bengals are and whatnot. We were talking, I said, I don't think I got your opinion on what you think the Bengals need to start looking at as they get to spring and summer workouts, training camp, et cetera.
Yeah. I kind of going to just echo what Centauri said. I'm like, it's like the three tech, edge still and tight end is still out there, but who is there? I mean, I don't know how they feel that. I guess I'll throw this to Santori because you on Bengals and Brews, you were listing all the people that they signed as far as undrafted free agents. Who is out there that they can get to fill these spots is kind of where I'm at.
Well, there's quite a few free agents out there, and this isn't a normal territory, we'll say, for Bengals fans, just because we haven't been in a position to where we haven't been scrambling to fill roster spots trying to be competitive. If you look at the available free agents right now, there are quite a few guys. I think Akeem Hicks is even still out there as a three tech that I would love to bring
in. No, wait. Okay. I got a question about him because I've been told he's not a three tech. Then I told he was a three tech. Where is he?
I mean, I've been told he's a three tech. If he's not, that's unbeknownst to me.
But, yeah, I've been told both. Sorry. Go ahead.
And I think a lot of people get hung up on the techniques thing. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but I coached the line for a while.
Yeah.
Quick rundown for those of you that don't know. If you line up directly over the center, you are a zero. If you are off to the center shoulder, you are a shade or a one technique. If you are directly over the guard, you're a two. If you're directly over the tackle, you're a four. Outside the tackle shoulder is a five. Outside the guard shoulder is a three. If you're inside one of those guys, you become a two eye or a four eye. Anything outside of that starts getting wacky because it goes 6-7. Or 6-8-7.
So it's pretty cool. Why. So we called you four eye for once.
Yeah. So if you're a four eye, you're incredibly close to a three technique. It's a difference of about 8 inches.
That's me. I'm a four eye. I wear glasses. Here, I'll put them on.
Okay. So I mean, if you hear he's a four technique or a three technique, it's literally a difference of about this far on a defensive line. I'm not worried about it. It's shifting from the outside shoulder of the guard to the inside shoulder of the tackle. Your ass is probably still in the same spot.
Right.
Yeah.
So Akeem Hicks would be one that I would love to look at.
The reason I bring that up, the reason I asked that, because I've said that on my show and people come back at me and like, well, he's not a three tech. I'm like, he's not? I thought he was. So that's why I'm asking.
Unless you got somebody like, I don't even know, like Reader. He's a one technique to a zero. He's not moving outside the guard. If he does, it's for a play or two. In terms of tight ends, I would have to see who's out there. I saw a couple names floated my way. I get Jeff's Mary Carey glasses. That's a good one.
Come on, coach. You know, let's go.
There's still receivers out there. And what I was going to say is this is a little bit uncharted territory. The guys that are still left are guys that teams thought that they could do better than in the draft. And that's the reason why they haven't signed. They're not going to get huge money. They'll get decent money for veterans, but the Bengals still have some cap space. You know, they didn't sign Jesse Bates yet. I still don't know what in God's name is going to do with that. I don't anticipate anything in the next calendar year.
I'm like, I don't think they're going to sign him. Anthony, where are you at on that? Do you think they're going to sign Jesse Bates at all? I think he's out.
I don't see that. Unfortunately, at this point, you know, based on what they did in this draft class and based on the fact that they have basically been trying to work on this deal since, what, spring or summer of last year?
2 years.
They're still far apart, apparently. There's the wild theory, and maybe it's not so wild, that they may use the franchise tag 2 years in a row on Jesse Bates and really kind of balloon up that one-year deal payment to him again. But I don't see that happening, especially what just happened this weekend. So I think they keep one, either Bates or Bell, and I think the move for Daxton Hill, I said this on my show, I said it on Bengals and Brews as well. I think the move for Daxton Hill is a Ricardo Allen replacement for the immediate future. And then, you know, you're hoping, your safety in the fifth round kind of turns into something that you can use as a good starter because of all the traits there. But, that's where I see it. And I don't feel good about where the Bengals are in terms of a long-term deal with Jesse Bates and what they did this weekend, really.
So I have a question too. Do you think it's more of a Jesse Bates thing or of his agent thing? Because his agent, we all know, got the most money for.
I think it's both, but I think it's also, I believe it to be that the Bengals don't value that position the same way as other teams do.
Because Jesse Bates come out and said, I don't have to be the highest paid. This is where I get confused. He says, I don't have to be the highest paid safety in the league. Okay, cool. But then he won't sign. So I'm like,
there's guaranteed money. There's all kinds of facets that would go into it. So the Bengals may have a contract on the table that maybe total money is something that is rival. Yeah. And so I'm not the brightest bulb in the box in terms of contract structures and whatnot, but I mean, I did a while ago, I posted this kind of rundown on contract structures as we got into free agency. And, you know, there's three different facets to guaranteed money. There's injury and, you know, all kinds of different things. So, they may have something in their guaranteed money where the contract on its surface, as you look at the numbers on its surface, maybe look competitive and or a great deal. But when you look at in the nitty gritty of it, they're just not heavy on the guaranteed money. That's always been a thing with the Bengals. They try and get a little more creative with their contracts. And some players sign them because the Bengals traditionally had been a team that they had not really, they've been loyal to players letting them see through contracts. And so, you know, the players see a lot of that money that is structured in the contract. But again, the guaranteed money is not as high as some other teams are willing to spend. That's just kind of my history recollection of it.
Right. And the thing with the Bengals contracts, and this is really, really easy to find out if you just want to go on to OTC, they don't do a lot of roster bonuses. They do mainly moderate to small signing bonuses because they don't have the cash at hand to give giant signing bonuses, which is another draw for players. But when you look at the guaranteed money, they don't do huge guarantees throughout the entire length of the contract. It gives them a way to get out of something if it doesn't work. Normally, they still see it through the end of the contract, but a player's going to look at that and go, oh, my guaranteed money's out after 18 months. Like, I'm going to have to go through this again. There's not a whole lot of security from the player's standpoint. It could still be a $100 million contract, but if there's only 18 guaranteed and there's a $15 million signing bonus, you're out after year one if shit goes wrong. Right. And, you know, with Jesse Bates, I don't know what in the world's going to happen because last year he didn't have his contract like he wanted. In the first 10 games, he played like shit and said it was on his mind. Well, now he doesn't have his contract like he wants. So are we going to go through that same old song and dance again? Because if we are, he's going to screw himself out of a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much weird crap going on with him.
Right. So let's transition a little bit. How much improved do you think the Bengals made their roster this weekend after what they did? I mean, again, this was a roster that didn't need a ton of picks to be influxed into the roster, but, you know, they needed some depth, some potential pushing of players for starters and some contingency plans in place that were, you know, that have come in and could push, you know, a guy like Eli Apple for a spot, or, you know, there's a lot to like, especially for a team that was picking in the back of each round, right? But how much immediate improvement, Ice, do you see that this team has made right now with this class?
As far as the secondary goes, a lot. You know, I like the first two picks. I mean, honestly, the other ones are to be seen. You know, we'll have to find out. The tight end, I wish I would have addressed that. That would have been nice. But as far as, like you said, there's not a lot of holes. I would have liked them to address tight end. That would have been nice. Wide receiver, that'd be cool. But the secondary helps me out a lot because just the, like we already talked about, the unknown about Jesse Bates and what's going on with him and Von Bell. There's two safeties that are up next year. Basically, both your starting safeties are up next year, potentially. So who knows what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Centauri?
I thought they did a good job of upgrading it. If it was a B+, it's somewhere between an A- and an A now. And I know that doesn't sound great. It sounds marginal. But when you look at what the Bengals have done in the past, there have been times where they've lost somebody and they've gone out and gotten a Band-Aid. Well, they didn't necessarily lose anybody, but they went out and got something better than a Band-Aid to kind of secure the foundation of the castle, if you will. So it's kind of like adding another wall to the foundation of your house. It just makes things more secure, and that's never a bad thing. It fortifies what you are already doing, and it makes it so if you do, like Ice was saying, if you lose one or both of those safeties, you're not in panic mode. You can just go about your day and fill the next need. So I like it from a standpoint of I don't have to worry about anything. It calms nerves for the next couple of years, really.
Yeah. We've got a couple more minutes and then we're going to bounce on out of here. You know, there's someone in our live chats here is talking about how we're not talking too much about the undrafted free agents and whatnot. And apparently we need to talk a lot about undrafted Kentucky tight end Justin Rigg, who caught 20 catches for 189 yards and 4 touchdowns last year.
That's
and
the savior at tight end if I ever.
He's the support. Wow. Oh my God. And you know what the reaction is to this? I mean, aside from just thank you so much, how about nice?
Holy nice. Crap.
With the number. Right. Yeah.
Hey, whoever you are, go check out my channel. Give me one of the super chats.
Yeah. We did talk about some UDFAs. The Bengals did show some pre-draft interest in Shamari Jones. Santori, you gave us some insight on Ben Brown, a guy who I think is a little surprising that was undrafted. Justin Rigg, I mean, I don't know if the person in the live chat is someone who is a big tight end, a Kentucky fan or not, but I don't really see that player, Justin Rigg, being an immediate answer. Maybe there's some I really like Mitchell Wilcox as an undrafted free agent a few years ago.
I like Rucker at Ohio State. I'm like, let's put this out there. The Jets stole all three of our freaking tight ends. All right. I'm just saying, I said this earlier. Yeah. Like with CJ Uzomah, who was our tight end already. Conklin, who we were thinking about signing, and then they got Rucker.
Yeah.
Why do they need three tight ends?
I don't know. Well, and the Bengals just don't seem to value that or feel that they need as much help as we all do. Yeah.
To put to rest this tight end thing really quick.
Please do.
The boy from Kentucky, he's not going to beat out Thad Moss because that's Burrow's boy. And Thad Moss is barely a practice squad player as it is. He's not beating out Wilcox. He's not beating out Hayden Hurst. There are currently 15 free agent tight ends that are veterans that are going to make less than $3 million a year. I'm on OTC right now that are going to beat him out. I have 18 to 20 options off the top of my head right now who are better.
Yeah. Well, it keeps getting brought up in the live chat. I want to address it. I want to make sure also that folks are up to date on the undrafted free agent signings. We went through the draft class. We went through the undrafted free agent signings. Let's get out of here with grades. Ice, what do you got for grades for the class?
I'll just stick with what I said on Bengals and Brewers. I think it's an A. It's not an A plus, A minus. I like the first two picks, and that's where I'm at. You're picking 31. You're picking at the end of the draft every round. And if you got two guys that are versatile, I like it. Even the third round guy is versatile. And that's what Lou Anarumo uses and needs is guys who can play multiple positions. Because I said this in a playoff game. Tennessee, we put everybody in the box. Kansas City, we put everybody outside, and we won. We need guys that can play multiple positions, and we got that for Lou. So I'm good with it.
Yeah, Santori, what would you grade this class? I know we talked about how you can't grade it a year, you know, right, at least a year, if not more, down the road. But what immediate gut reaction?
On paper, probably a B, just because when I think back in drafts, and you know, I like to compare drafts. The one with Burrow and Higgins that's an A.
Phenomenal.
You know, that's a franchise changing draft that you don't really get much better than that. And if that's an A, this isn't an A. But this isn't a C. It's nothing that falls by the wayside. So I'll give it a B to a B plus.
That's where I am with it. Yeah. Again, players that are got high end traits, a lot of versatility, get you a lot of different opportunities to do some different things on defense, which I think excites Lou Anarumo. Again, you have to take this draft for what it is. You have to take this draft for you have to take into account the status of where the Bengals are, the season they just came off of, where their roster is now, as opposed to where it was going into 2020, that incredible draft class you just mentioned, Santori. And just, you know, you have to say they were at the back end of rounds. They did a little maneuvering to move up to get some guys they really liked and didn't cost an arm and a leg to do so. So you got to like that. I'm in between the B and B plus range. I didn't like absolutely light my hair on fire like that 2020 class. But, you know, I thought they did some solid work, especially where they were positioned and where the roster is at this point.
Well, take it for what it's worth. They took a franchise. They took a Super Bowl roster, fortified it, made it just a little bit more sound. It can't be a bad draft class if you make a Super Bowl roster better.
Yep.
Exactly.
Let's get on out of here at this point here. Ice, I'm going to let you plug your show here. You are on YouTube here, Cincinnati Sports with Strawberry Ice. There's the YouTube channel. We'll pin that there. You are a daily show, my man. You crank this out daily like a maniac.
Yeah, daily, live every day at 5:30. And I tell everybody to subscribe because you never know when I'm going to put something out, a video. I might go live, especially this weekend. I put a lot of stuff out there because of the draft. You never know when I'm going to go on a rant about the Reds because, well, they're just irritating. And Phil Castellini he's irritated.
They're the Reds. You know,
yeah, he's irritated every Reds fan available, and I'm not sure why you would do that. So anyway, if you're interested in following me, I cover all Cincinnati sports, Reds, Bengals, Bearcats. I don't cover Xavier. Sorry, Xavier fans. I'm not a fan. It's my channel. I can cover what I want. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Just type in Sports with Strawberry Ice, and it'll pop up. Hit the subscription button. Hit the bell for notification, and every time I go live or every time I put a video out, you guys be notified. Thanks, Anthony.
Yep, and the YouTube URL is there. And Rally Around the Natty, you are on YouTube as well. I think you are on also some other audio platforms. So tell us as well about your show at Santori. I think you had Sheeran on, didn't you? Yeah.
We did. We had Sheeran on the other day. And we've got a total of 2 subscribers, and they are me and my dad. So we're really cracking out.
Look at are above.
You? Okay, great.
Look at above.
We're doing all right. We're having fun. Just me and my dad talking a little bit of Cincinnati sports. One thing that I want to plug is that, you know, we're doing the donations every month. We have a giveaway that we're doing this month for our hoodies that we have, Rally Around the Natty, super comfortable. We've got some coffee mugs that we're giving away, and they will hold your coffee. They have been tested. And, you know, $1 donation gets you in the raffle for those. If you do a $10 donation, you are in a raffle for a custom Cincinnati Bengals jersey from Cooks that we are going to be giving away around Christmas. April donation rally stops tonight around 11, and then we'll be doing another one next month. So we do this every month, always try and support a local charity. This month is the Ken Anderson Alliance. So if you've you got a dollar, we would really appreciate it. The Ken Anderson Alliance would really appreciate it. This is completely, you know, I don't take any profit out of this. I don't even do super chats like Ice does. I'm good. I'm just here to give stuff away and make people happy.
Well, appreciate it and appreciate you guys. I think I just put both. Yes, I did. I pinned both of the URLs for their YouTube channels there. Go subscribe.
Real quick, Anthony. You're going to be on my show Tuesday, and John's going to be on Monday.
He's got you on his show.
Yeah, exactly. I made sure of this on Bengals and Brews. If you guys want to check out, go watch Bengals and Brews. It's a lot of fun.
Yep, and as I pinned earlier, Dale Altman, our buddy the Orange Arrow, they host Bengals and Brews, that YouTube channel. Go subscribe to all three of those great channels if for some reason you have not. Thank you for tuning in, whether it's live, after the fact. Keep it to CincyJungle.com for all your news, opinions, analysis, podcasts, all kinds of stuff. We've got you covered for the NFL draft as it is now in the books. Thank you guys for your time. I know it's been a long evening, a marathon evening, but it's been a fun weekend talking Bengals, and appreciate you guys coming on and chatting with me. Let's get you on again soon.
Appreciate you, Andy. Hootay, baby.
All right. Hootay. Take it easy.